You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
Last week, the Green Party released a statement highlighting the recently released Dental for All report, which they say confirms that New Zealand can afford a free and universal dental service. And the recently signed free trade agreement with India and New Zealand is being touted as a pivotal moment, garnering support from both Labour and National parties. However, NZ First MP and Coalition Minister for Oceans and Fisheries, Shane Jones, expressed his opposition to the agreement with derogatory comments against potential Indian immigrants that have drawn the ire of other parliamentary parties. So for our weekly catch-up with the Green Party, I spoke with MP Ricardo Menendez March about the Green Party's dental policy and the free trade agreement with India.
Kia ora, Ricardo.
Morena, thank you for having me.
I want to start our conversation this morning by looking at the Greens' dental proposals. I saw in your press releases that you guys talked about the Free Dental for All report, and I was wondering what the Green Party would like to do with this.
Well, we've long campaigned to address the reality that people are having to choose between paying their bills or go to the dentist. And having worked at the front lines before entering Parliament, I worked with people who, and I don't say this lightly, had a mouthful of rotten teeth because they were living in poverty and could not afford to go to the dentist, and they were living in pain. What that tells me is that we need to do something big and systemic about it to go to the core of the issue. And for us, that means bringing our dentistry services into the public healthcare system, and that's why we campaigned last election on a plan to do exactly that.
In terms of incorporating this into the public healthcare system, what do the costs of something like this look like?
A lot less than people would expect. The Dental for All campaign released some recent costings. And, you know, when you compare the reality that the government gave out $3 billion basically in tax cuts to landlords, it tells us that this is completely within the scope of what should be affordable. And this is why we think that what the Greens would do is to start bringing out services in areas where they're needed the most to begin with, and also look at topping up the workforce so that we have enough dentists as well as other professions that support them to be able to provide that care, because the feedback we've had as well is that there are issues with the services that deliver oral health for under 18s, and we need to look at that as well.
When you have a dental that's not inside of the public health system and you do have people who are not getting adequate care, what sort of extra costs does this put on to the public healthcare system?
Yeah, look, I had people who lost jobs because they just couldn't continue working while living in pain. The reality is that we've also got people presenting to hospital with heart conditions that are the direct result of extremely poor oral health. And also the end result is that people can only end up affording extractions. And this is why people end up simply just getting an extraction, doing nothing about it, and then their gum health further deteriorates as a result of not having implants or anything else to support their oral health. At the end of the day, what we know is that poor oral health isn't just people don't know how to brush well, even though that really extremely matters. It's also a reality of people not having access to adequate kai, to being able to live lives that allow their overall health to be well. And this is why we campaigned on last election for starting off with free checkups so that people can at least be able to get that basic care and then expanding that to more specialist care.
Do you have an idea of the round number for how much it would cost?
Yeah, the Dental for All released some updated costings in our Green Party policy package. We absolutely fully costed that policy, but the Dental for All package showed that it is actually more affordable than previously thought. And I believe it's less in the realm of the tax cuts for landlords from the latest costings that they released. I'm pretty sure it's just under $1 billion, and then there's a $1 billion top-up.
All right. Now, I want to move on to the next topic. Luxon pulling out of his breakfast interviews with Tova O'Brien on TVNZ. The National Party had previously criticised it when Jacinda Ardern had pulled out of several interviews. And now they too are pulling out of a series of interviews here. What is the Green Party's position on this, especially when it's the Prime Minister who's in this position?
It just shows that the Prime Minister is simply not willing to confront the difficult issues of the days in platforms that have big audiences. And ultimately, the challenge that we have here is that we've got a Prime Minister who's quite happy to go extremely hostile towards public journalism, and at the very same time, quite happy to entertain letting that very same public journalism fall apart due to inadequate resourcing and funding, putting at risk people's ability to access accurate, timely, and robust information. And so this is part of a broader culture shift from right-wing global leaders, where they completely disregard the role of media for both providing information but holding power to account.
Okay, just before we have to go, I want to touch on the New Zealand Free Trade Agreement with India. There is several aspects to it that I'd like to cover maybe quickly. The first is, do you feel like this is good for New Zealand?
Well, we've just had access to the full text, and I think there are concerns around environmental protections and robust workers' rights. I think that the aspirational target of investment that we have to make, I do think, really risks putting the trade deal at odds. I agree with the concerns that it's highly unlikely we'd be able to meet it. But I'm also really disappointed with the xenophobia that's been whipped up around the migration components, because I do think those haven't been based on evidence and have been a lot of it being whipped due to misinformation and xenophobic rhetoric.
On that, the comments that Shane Jones made, how do you approach that in this context? He's providing a criticism of the free trade agreement, but is it appropriate?
He's not providing a criticism of the free trade agreement, really. He's literally punching down on our Indian communities, and that's what a lot of New Zealand First political careers have been based off. Shane Jones and Winston Peters would rather have us fighting our neighbours than actually paying attention to the fact that they're selling our country to the highest bidder, whether it's through the mining companies they're inviting to ransack UNESCO World Heritage Sites to not stop the sell-off of Kāinga Ora homes to the highest bidders. And all of that tells me that this is a government that would rather have everyday people fighting each other than actually fighting the multimillionaires and billionaires who are causing havoc across the country and the world.
How do you feel like people should respond to Shane Jones?
Well, there's an election coming up. If you don't want ongoing xenophobic rhetoric, the best way to stop the New Zealand First Party from being able to form government is to party vote Green, as Labour hasn't fully, completely ruled them out. And my concern is that obviously that leaves the door slightly ajar to New Zealand First. So party voting Green is the best way to stop that kind of politics from setting foot.
All right, I'm going to have to wrap it up now, Ricardo. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Take care.
Ka kite. Bye.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez-March on their dental policy and the free trade agreement with India.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez-March.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.